You might sometimes think that yours doesn't count, but I want to tell you it does. Every penny counts. Everything that we do counts. Amen. I so appreciated that. Can you imagine stopping NASCAR, the world's largest sporting event? Amen. And just remembering, this is a military church and town. We have to recognize those things. Amen. It's an important part of the culture of who we are. And I just have found out I'm pretty patriotic. Amen. Amen. There's something inside me that's just very, very patriotic. And I'm thanking God that I can be a part with you in all of that. I want to, again, take a few moments, if I could, and I want to revisit giving, because I discovered that you guys haven't had a lot of messages on that, and money is such an important part of our lives. It's not something to be afraid of. I'm not up here trying to take another offering. We already took the offering. You don't have to worry about it no more, okay? But it's something that we all of us need funding in our lives. We need finances to be able to function. And so the Bible talks about it a lot, like 2,100 times. And so I think we ought to talk about it a little bit and just understand a little bit more of what the Word has to say about it. It'll change your world if you catch on to these things. So I want to give you a review of what we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, just for a moment, give you a few new ideas, and then get you on the way. A seed is a beginning. A seed is a beginning. Everything begins with a seed. Even you began as a seed. Everything begins as a seed. In every seed is a genetic code. Inside of it is a DNA code, a code. And that code determines what is going to come out of that seed. A giraffe will always produce a giraffe. A hamster will always produce a hamster. A ray will always produce a ray. Okay, it's just the way it works, okay? The code is in there. The only thing that a seed needs to start is soil. That's all it needs. You can put it on a shelf all day long, and it won't start, but you put it in soil. Now, the thing about soil, we talked about this already, is it doesn't really care which seed is dropped into it. It doesn't matter to the soil. The soil has a job. If the soil is good soil, it has a job, and that is to push the life of that seed up and out. So when you put the seed in the soil, that soil says, uh-oh, I've got life here. I'm going to push that life up and out. So we talked about tithe and seed. They're not the same thing. Somehow we've, over the years, thought they were. Seed, the Bible teaches, belongs to the sower. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 10. He supplies, the Bible says, seed to the sower. So seed that is sown then can produce, the Bible says, 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. That's in Mark 4, verse 20. So when you put a seed in good soil, not just any soil, but in good soil, depending on the quality of the soil, it will produce 30, 60, or 100-fold. Seed belongs to the sower. Who does it belong to? Tithe belongs to God. Tithe means tenth. That's what the word means. It's Numbers 18. That belongs to God. The seed belongs to you, but the tithe belongs to God. Tithe comes from a Hebrew word, which means separated from destruction. That's what the word tithe literally means. To break the power off of. To break the power of poverty off of. To break the power of bondage off of. So tithe then is for power and protection. That's what it's all about. God says when you tithe, I will break the power off of. Listen to what it says, Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord. A Lord is a possessor. He possesses all things, and he possesses a host of angelic protection. He says, I've got a whole army of angels here to protect, and I will rebuke the devourer. The word devourer literally means seed eater. So God says, when you tithe, I will come and I will stop the seed eater. I've got a host of angels, and I will make sure that they cannot sift your blessing. The devourer cannot steal from you your blessing. I will protect you. The seed is yours. You get to use it however you want. But if you plant it before you protected it, it's not going to produce what it could have produced. If you plant it in good soil after you've tithed, then I will protect it and it can produce what it's supposed to produce, whether it's 30, 60, or 100-fold. Does that make sense to everybody? So the idea is the seed is an offering. It's something beyond and above the tithe. I don't have to always give it in the church. I can give it wherever I choose, but I have to choose good soil. I have to choose good soil. And if I choose good soil, then God says, I will cause the soil to resurrect the life out of it and break off all the bondages, all the poverty, all the illnesses that might would be come from it. Can I tell you something? Money can cause a lot of illness in people's life. Because people can buy the wrong thing with money, like alcohol, drugs. Okay, so he says, I will break that power. I will cause things to happen that will produce a life that's good for you, a blessing good for you. Does that make sense to everybody? That's kind of what we've spoke about already. That's kind of a review. Now today, I want to talk to you about what I call the 818 economic grace. 818. This is an insight that was revealed to a credible prophetic voice in the United States, a man that I know. He's very credible. And he said one day in prayer, God just spoke to him and took him through chapter 8, verse 18 of several books of the Bible. And he says, as the Lord took me through it, I was stunned at the theme that was interwoven about finances. And so, how many of you know the mind of Christ is a wonderful thing? It's just wonderful how Scripture will absolutely unravel and show us things. So we're going to look at six of these Scriptures very quickly this morning. 818 Scriptures. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 8:18, Joshua 8:18, 2 Chronicles 8:18, Proverbs 8:18, Luke 8:18, and Acts 8:18. Let's look at the first one, Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth." Who gives you power to get wealth? The Lord your God gives you power to get wealth that He can do what? Establish His covenant in your life. Okay, what is the covenant He's talking about? Abraham's covenant, the covenant of blessing and favor. He says, I'm going to give you wealth. So we need to stop right there and just really let that resonate inside of you. Engage with this. Wealth is never from the devil. Wealth is not from the devil. Wealth is from God. That's what the Bible says. Let's unravel our old thinking. I don't care who got it. God raises up kings and God puts down kings. God raises up nation and God put down it. He does it for His purposes to establish what He's doing in the earth. You might not agree with Bill Gates having the money, but God had a plan. He's still got a plan. Amen. I don't understand God's plan. His ways are above my ways. His thoughts are above my thoughts. But God gives wealth. The devil doesn't give wealth. Wealth is not from the devil. So if wealth were evil, why would God give you the power to get it? We're looking at our Bible. If wealth is so bad, why God gives you the power to get it? The Bible teaches me that it's Satan that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not God. God's not giving people wealth to destroy them. God's giving people wealth to establish His covenant, and He has an idea. Now, if poverty, I know that the religious world has talked about vows of poverty. They want to keep a preacher poor. Amen. They want to keep, you got the monks laying in some cave somewhere on a bed that's 6 inches too short, no sheets, whatever. Vows of poverty. If that's such a godly virtue, then why isn't it in heaven? Why don't we have poverty in heaven? If it's so godly, surely God would put it in heaven too. I'm trying to tell you, those thoughts are thoughts that the enemy has brought into a church or into a people to make you think that it's wrong to be wealthy. God wants you to be wealthy. He gives you the power to have wealth. Amen. If you don't think that way, you need to think the way the Bible teaches. Vows of poverty are not a godly concept. God's concept is that you would be wealthy, that He could establish His covenant through you. So He has a purpose for you prospering. And it's to help you to establish a covenant, the covenant of Abraham, where people can be saved, lives can be changed, and you can prosper. His covenant was a covenant of prosperity. So God is generous. And He wants those who align and look to Him to experience the rewards of His generosity. Is that all right? God gives wealth. Everybody say that with me. That's never the devil. It's always God. Number two, Joshua 8:18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out the spear that is in your hand towards Ai, and I will give it into your hand." Now here's the lesson on this one. God will help you win and recover everything you lost in your own stupidity. Amen. God had told them to go into the promised land. They were going to take 10 cities, major cities in the promised land. The first one that they was going to take is Jericho. Remember the walls of Jericho fell down? Remember that story? Jericho is the first of 10, means it's the tithe city. It's the tithe city. It's the first of the 10. And so God says, I don't want you to take anything out of this city. Don't touch any of the gold. Don't touch any of the brass. Don't touch any of the silver. It all belongs to me. Everything in this city goes back into my temple, my tabernacle. You don't touch a thing. Well, when they went in there was an old boy named Achan. And old Achan, he got to looking at some of that stuff. And he said, boy, that's a fine Babylonian garment right there. And he got to looking at the silver, and he got to looking at the different things, and the gold. And the Bible says that he stole some and hid it. Well, when he did, the next thing they did is they went to battle against this little teeny town. Jericho, the walls had already fallen. They defeated a massive city. Now they go against a little teeny like country town out there, and they get whooped bad. And they come running back, and Joshua starts saying, God, what happened? And God says, you took of my tithe. I'm not rebuking the devourer for you. I'm not stopping it. You took from me. And he says, what do you mean we took from you? He says, it's your old buddy over there, Achan. So when one person in the congregation steals from God, it affects all of us. let me back up. I don't want to scare you. And so he admits in Joshua 7:21, I coveted. I took of the Babylonian garment. I stole the silver and the gold. I disobediently linked myself to mammon. I used its covering, the Babylonian garment, and the greed of it to try to prosper myself, to gain wealth. Ai literally means, the word means heaps of ruin. So Joshua says, wait a minute, we're not going to live in ruin. We're not going to live like this. And thank God it's Old Testament. Joshua takes Achan out, his family, his cows, his dogs, his cats, and his hamster, and stones them all, and that ain't enough, then burns them. Aren't you glad we don't do that stuff today? Half of y'all be crispy critters in the parking lot. No, I'm just teasing. Hey, man, that's crazy stuff. But that's what he does. And God says, oh, okay, so you're going to do right. You're going to function the way I'm teaching you to function. He says, I'm going to give you another opportunity to gain wealth. I want you to stretch your spear out now again, because you've dealt with your problem. You've got it straightened out with the tithe. Stretch your spear out, and I'm going to help you. They go back into Ai this time, and the Bible says in Joshua 7:27, the livestock, the spoil, the riches of the city as booty they took for themselves. And so this time they win. They successfully take everything back. And here's the lesson. God is kind and merciful. And even though you've done some dumb things and you've lost some real battles, if you'll correct yourself, God says, I'll get back involved with you. All you got to do is invite me back in, and I'll come back and help you fix your mess. You're the one that did it, but I'll fix it for you. Thank God, because I made a lot of messes in my life. I don't know about you. And so he says, I will not allow an unjust enemy to ruin you, even if it's your fault. If you'll come back and invite me back into your life. You invite me back in, and I, even though it's your fault, I'll help you. You know, some of you older ones will remember Otis on the Andy Griffith Show. Remember Otis? How do you guys remember him? He always locked himself up in jail. He would go to the jailhouse, open the jail, lock himself up. And that's what I see so many of us doing. We know better, but we just lock ourselves up. Well, I just couldn't afford it this week. Click, we lock the door. Jesus wants me to tell you something. The key is always hanging right on the wall outside. Remember, I noticed they always hung the key right outside. All he had to do is take the key off and unlock his cell door whenever he got ready to go. Same for you. All you got to do is stretch your spear out, and God will help you fix your mess. Come on, somebody. Amen. His economic grace is not just for you when you're perfect. His economic grace is good for you even when you blow it and you come back and say, God, forgive me. That makes me happy. I don't know about everybody else. Number three, 2 Chronicles 8:18. And Hiram went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir and acquired 450 talents of gold from there and brought it to King Solomon. Now, here's the lesson in this one. Hiram is the king of Tyre. He's a foreigner. He is not a Christian man. he would be what we would call a pre-believer or an unbeliever. And he gives to the kingdom of God and he gives to God. Amen. So this represents, this story, this passage represents unbelievers or pre-believers who are moved upon by God to help you in your kingdom progress. Amen. This is what George needs. This is what other of us need. We need businessmen that God has moved upon to help us fund the kingdom of God. Okay? This man is not a Christian man. I want you to hear that. He brings 450 talents of gold. Let me break that down to you. That's $500 million in today's economy. Okay? That's not a small amount of money to give. He brings $500 million. He's an unbelieving king, and he comes and he just moved upon by God to give this amount to King Solomon in the working of what he's doing to build the temple. It's so powerful that Solomon built such a beautiful temple that it precipitated the Queen of Sheba. She hears about it, and she comes with her riches. And she literally faints when she sees the grandeur of what God's doing. She falls out under the Spirit. Amen. And she brings all this wealth to him and begins to bless him then. Ophir was a place in the Bible. It's a mystical place that God opened up the riches. It represents limitless riches is what it represents. He opened it up to David first and now to King Solomon to help them to build the kingdom of God. It's a picture, for you that are scholars, of the transfer of wealth. How many of you have heard the wicked, The righteous will inherit the wicked wealth. Amen. And so there's a transfer of wealth. There's seven of them in the Bible. I'm not going to preach on that today. But God will cause people to rise up and bless you and help you along the way. And if you'll understand that. Somebody say amen. It's the grace of God. I'm asking God for that to happen right here. That we don't always have to fund everything. But God would bring people from outside that would help us. Help us build a children's center. Help us build an activity center. Help us do what we need to do. And I believe God's got those people out there. I believe they're there. Let me tell you a story. There's an unbelieving man. We'll call him a pre-believer. I like that name better. And he's a 50-year-old contractor. He walked into a church, and he was sitting there watching the church, and God moved on him. He walked up to the pastor afterwards. He says to him, I'm such and such contractor. And he was well known in the city. Big, big-time contractor. And he says, I feel moved upon in my heart, all I can think about is I'm going to retire from what I'm doing and I'm going to help this church. I'm going to help this church. Under his supervision, the church became a licensed contractor. They ended up hiring people all throughout that congregation and they built several new buildings and sites upon the property. Now this man's still a pre-believer. He's not a believer. It's not for a year and a half, almost 2 years later, he finally responds to the altar call and gives his heart to God. But all this time, he's been helping. He's created, the church is now a licensed contractor. When he gave his heart to God, the pastor then placed him over the operations of the church. He ran insurance, the personnel, the buildings and grounds, the bookkeeping, and the general office and construction. He became the business organizer for a man you might have heard of, Tommy Barnett. He's Tommy Barnett's man. And he was a man that was a pre-believer and was serving the kingdom of God. The Bible says all these things shall be added unto you. We're believing God for those things to happen in this church where God will move upon different people to help us. And it's not just about the help. We need the help. Amen. But we want to see their lives touched for God as well. And so it's a beautiful thing, and the Bible promises it that that's one of the graces of God upon a people that tithe and give. God says, I'll cause a grace to come. I'll cause people to give you things that you did not plant, houses you did not build. I'll cause them to give it to you. Amen. Proverbs 8:18. Riches and honor are with me. This is God speaking. Riches and honor belong to me. Enduring riches and justice. Now that's a powerful scripture. Riches are from God, not from the devil, from God. And so here it is. He says it all's from me. And then if you read just a little bit further, it says this. In the midst of the path of justice, I will cause those who love me to inherit wealth that I may fill their treasuries. This is our God. Amen. God says, I own all the riches. I have all the wealth. And those that honor me and those that love me and those that have justice and keep just books and keep themselves clean in these areas, I will cause them to inherit wealth. I will cause a blessing to come upon their lives. Now listen to me. You have to plant those seeds. You can't just know this stuff. You have to live by it. It got quiet again. You got to understand it. You got to take it and live by it. You got to believe God in it. You got to step into it and say, God, I believe you. I don't know how we're going to do all we need to do here, but we're going to get it done. I just step in. I just believe God and step forward because God wants to give us wealth and God wants to fill our treasuries. Amen. All of us should have enough money that we don't have to worry. If something happens for a year, we've got enough money to live for a year without worrying about it. Amen. We should all be able to do these things, but it's so that God can prosper us so we can be a blessing. You can't bless anybody if you're not blessed. Luke 8:18. Let's look at this next one very quickly. For whoever has, now that's a qualification of a steward. A steward manages, he has. To him more will be given, and to him who does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Here's the lesson. Past generosity and stewardship will determine your future advance. It will determine how far you're going to go in abundance, what you've did in the past. So here's what we learn from the parable of the talents. God considers not using as burying what you have. That's what I'm telling you, how God looks at it. God looks at your stuff and he says, everybody's got stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, you got some stuff. We was listening to a funny little thing. I wanted to show it to you. It was a funny little thing. This guy's talking about stuff. He said, we build houses to hold our stuff. When you look down from the sky, all you see is a bunch of little clouds of stuff. Everybody got stuff. Amen. And God looks at the stuff, and he determines what you're doing with it. If you're not using your stuff, God says you're burying what you have. And he does not accept the excuse of not having. He says, if you don't have, if you're going to say that, then he looks at it as bad stewardship. And it's required of a steward to be found faithful. So God says, generosity is in having and how you use it, what you do, how you function. There's a time and a place when God will speak to your heart to help somebody. You might be at a restaurant and see somebody sitting over there. God will tell you, pay their bill. How you use what you have will determine what's going to happen to you in the future. Amen. And finally, it says this in Acts 8:18. And when Simon, who is a sorcerer, saw that through the laying on of hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So here's the lesson of this one. Don't prostitute Holy Ghost power to gain wealth. Amen. All of these are 8:18 verses. It's not coincidental to me that there's two guys named Simon in the Bible, Simon the sorcerer and Simon Peter. Okay, there's two of them, and I believe God's genius in the scripture is this. One of them wants to mix riches and power to get the Holy Spirit. He's a sorcerer. Okay, the other one, he has it right. He's Simon the disciple. He just wants to give the Holy Spirit. One guy is trying. So here's the difference. One is merchandising for the anointing. The other is just functioning in the anointing. I have no problem with people selling books and product, and I hope one of these days we can do that. But we're not doing it. We're not up here trying to put on a show to raise money. We're not going to use the gift of God in the house to raise money. We use the gift of God in the house to bless people. Okay, that's what it's about. God will help us with funding, and I'm not against funding, but we're not merchandising the anointing. Amen. That thing, that becomes evil pretty quick. There's a fine line right there. But when I find people that are just, all they're about is selling their product and they're not about bringing the Holy Spirit in the house, I'm not interested any longer. I don't mind you selling your product, but bring us the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let God move. Let people be touched. Otherwise, we fall into what's called sorcery. And we don't want to fall into that. Amen. So let me say this. All of these 8:18 things I've talked about are applicable for you. God gives wealth. Not the devil. God wants to prosper you. God wants to strengthen you. God will cause the unbeliever, the pre-believer to help you. God will do all of these things. And what's beautiful about it is they're all 8:18. The number 8 is known in the Bible as new beginnings. And I believe this is a new season for many of you. I believe God's going to bring you into a new season of abundance. Amen. All of you are just one person away from great inheritance. You know somebody that can open a door for you that would change your whole world. You already know them. You already know them. Amen. And God can open a door for you and cause things to happen. I believe it's a season of new beginnings. But eight, the number actually is the number, it means Shemona, and I'm not a great Greek scholar here, but I have a Strong's Concordance. It means plumpness, okay? Plump, to be plump. In other words, it means to be fat, to be rich, to be robust. I believe God, when he put all these texts together in 8:18, was saying to us, it's a new season of plumpness, fatness. Amen. Somebody said, praise the Lord, I'm feeling that already. No, I'm not talking about biscuits and gravy. I'm talking about finances. Some of y'all came in here. Yeah, like, wait, I want biscuits. You can have all you want if you get this right. God wants to bless us. Amen. God wants to help us. God wants our businessmen in this church to prosper. Amen. If they want to pull up in an old 63 Chevy pickup, that's more power. If they want to pull up in a Rolls Royce, praise God. Whatever. God wants them to prosper. God wants them to be blessed, and God wants you to be blessed, and God wants his church to be blessed, and I believe it's a new season for that. I believe there's a grace that's coming upon us that God's going to cause the seed eater to be destroyed and the power of God to move in our funds. Amen, somebody. But it doesn't happen if you don't have understanding. I'm not trying to give you head knowledge. I'm trying to give you heart knowledge. This is the God you serve. This is the God you serve. It ain't the devil. It's God. He wants you blessed. He does not want you having to scrap all the time. You're not going to get to heaven and have to scrap around all the time and worry about your next meal. That's not the God we serve. The God we serve wants you to live in abundance and blessing. And I want to tell you this. I preach this same message in the poorest countries of the world because God still loves them just the same as he loves us. There's a little church we have that's all lepers. 400 lepers. You know what they do? They crawl out into the rice field and they pick rice. You know what they do with their rice? They pay tithe. And you know what they've done? They've planted over 200 churches already. Lepers. No excuses for us here. No excuses for us here. God looks at how we use what we have. Amen. So that we can be prospered, so God can move in our lives. Now, I want to give you just a few more things real quick. Later, if you want me to write this for you or put them back on the board, we can do it after the service. Seed belongs to the sower. Everybody say that with me. Belongs to you. Who does tithe belong to? Seed is always a beginning. Always a beginning. Now, listen to this. Every seed has a different future. Okay? Honor is the seed to access. If you honor somebody, they'll open the door and let you in. Right? Just go in there and be a nerd and see how far you get. You honor them, it's a seed of access to every season. Access is the seed to opportunity. Honor is also a seed to longevity. If you want somebody to stick around a while, honor them. If you want life and relationships, honor. Amen. I'm giving you time. I'm just going slow so you can, some of you are trying to take notes. We'll put it back on the board if you need to later. Dishonor is the seed for loss. Everything starts with a seed. You get to decide how you sow your seed. Your seed has no power if you haven't dealt with the seed devourer, the seed eater. You got to get those things right. You got to understand your God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. There's an 8:18 blessing upon you. So you can step into that. Now next, let's go to the next screen. Gratitude is the seed for more. Just be ungrateful for a while. See how that goes. Gratitude's the seed for more. Battle is the seed for territory or possession. We want to take new ground? You got to take it from the devil. Devil, don't give up nothing. You got to fight for it. Words are the seeds for change and for feelings. You say the right word to your wife. You're beautiful. Or you say, you're a witch. You're going to reap the reward of that seed. It will bring change to your eyeball. As her little bony fist goes chink right in there. Amen. Asking is the seed for receiving. Right? I could go on and on. Seed is how everything works. Everything begins with the seed. Everything. And God will grace that with an 818 grace. He'll cause people to come. But you've got to sow the seed. But you can't even sow the seed till you paid the tithe. Amen. So you got 90% to deal with. If you want that 90% to have all those kind of blessings, deal with the 10% first. Put your spirit towards that 10%. Say, you're going down. Amen. Does that make sense there? That's your Bible. That's what our God teaches us. And I'm telling you, it works in our lives. One time I got, somebody gave me an old jalopy beat up car. And I had a bunch of young men that lived way away, and I gave them the car. Okay, they drove without a driver's license, and anybody was an idiot to get in the car with them. They started bringing all kind of young people to my church. They started, 45 young people, they started bringing it every day. They run them back and forth, that old jalopy. Next thing you know, some businessman saw that and bought a van. So I gave him a van. I started giving them, you know what, people just give me cars. Because I sowed cars, I started reaping cars. You just start reaping them. It just starts to flow. It depends on how you sow and what you're doing with it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to keep on sowing until I get that Rolls Royce. No, I don't even want a Rolls Royce. Amen. I don't even want one. But I would. Never mind. I was going to tell you what I would like. God is good, isn't he? Is God good? This is the way God wants. He wants you blessed. Look at your neighbor and say, he wants you blessed. He wants your business blessed. He wants, if you're in the real estate, when you step into a house, God wants to bless it and cause the deal to go beautifully. Whatever you're doing, God wants to bless. Wants to bring the right people around you, the right environment around you, the right atmosphere around you to bless you in all your endeavors. Amen. He wants to rebuke any enemy that would try to ruin you. And even when you make a stupid mistake, God says, I'll help you get out of it. I'll help you get out of it. Stretch your spear out. Let's get that right. Now let's plant new seeds and let's see what I'll do. That's the God we serve. Amen, amen. Give the Lord a big hand, would you? I'm going to ask if the musicians would come right now. Amen. Now listen to me. You get to keep your harvest. You get to keep your harvest. But what you do with that harvest, how you sow out of that harvest is your seed. So God will cause your harvest to increase. I believe he's increased me by bringing me here. Amen. I really do. I think this is the greatest group of people I've ever pastored. I'm serious. I really feel, Gail will call me up from Arizona when she's out with my father, and she can tell you, there's a joy in my spirit. I feel it. I feel it. I know God's up to something big here. I don't know what it is, but God's up to something fantastic. I love every group I've ever pastored, but there's just something special here. Amen. There really is. I love all the people everywhere I've ever been, but there's something special in this house. God is up to something. He's got something up his sleeve. Amen. So I want to be careful. Our office, we're careful. Our elders, we're careful that we use the seed the way he wants it used. We want to make sure that we're careful with our seed, intentional with our seed, so that we can reap the harvest God has for us. Now, just for a moment, I want to change the subject just for one second. I want you to bow your head. And the only reason I ask you to do that is just in reverence to the Lord and to make it a safe place for others. You've come in today as a guest, a friend has brought you, or you've wandered in on your own. But when you came in with a heart's desire to find out about God. You need God in your life. You're away from God. You've never asked Jesus into your heart, or you have, and you've been a long time ago, you walked away. And today you found yourself back in this church, and you feel his presence, and you feel God. You feel the goodness and the love of God. You'd say, Pastor Ray, would you include me in a prayer where I can give my life to Jesus Christ? I want to ask him to get in the driver's seat. I'm going to get out. I'm going to let him begin to work in my life and begin to help me. I need God in my life. I love him. And I know he loves me. I'm tired of the devil running the show. I need God to help me. Pastor, would you pray for me as I give my life to Jesus today? It would be my honor. Would you lift your hand up high and just set it back down? It's a sign of surrender. Just lift your hand and say, Lord, touch my life today. Would there be anyone at all today? Anyone at all today you'd like to give your life to Jesus? Amen. We're praying in the near future that hands go up everywhere because we've brought people in that don't know Christ. Is there anybody here at all today you'd like to give your life to Jesus? Okay, let's change the subject. Now you can look back up now. You can look back up now. I'm going to ask my altar team if they would come now. And I'm going to say, there's an anointing. I felt it last week, a week before last when I preached. God wants to prosper this house. To do that, he has to prosper you. For you to be prospered, you have to understand it. And that's why I'm ministering on it. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to agree with you right now. We're going to have this altar team agree with you. If you would like to say, I want to go forward, there's something about, listen to me. It's not about making me feel good because you come to the altar. It's about you walking away from what's happening in your life today, touching heaven, and walking back to a new life. That's what the altar is all about. When you come, you'd like to come and you'd like to say, God, help me. God, help me. I want to rebuke the devourer. I want to see my family blessed. I want to see my life blessed. I want money to come from the north, south, east, and west, not just for money's sake, but for the kingdom's sake. And for that to happen, it's got to happen. And you feel inspired today. I believe God could help me break this thing through. I believe God will help me know what soil to plant my seed in. There's all kinds of soil out there, but you can't plant it everywhere. You got to figure out where you want to plant. Amen. Amen. You got to plant seed. You got to plant with intention. And so if you'd like God to give you wisdom in those areas, if you'd like God to help you with that, we're going to pray just for a few moments. We want you to come. We're not asking you to expose your financial stuff here. You're just agreeing with somebody, yes, God, help me break through in the area of finances more and more in my business, in my work, in my life, in my children's life, my neighbor's life, whatever. You want God to touch you. I want you to find a place. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song together. Just go ahead and lead us in a song. What a beautiful name it is. And if you'd like prayer, I want you to come. We got people here to pray with you and believe God with you for a breakthrough. This is not, maybe you're wealthy today and you'd just like God to help you know how to handle it. Come right now. This is where you get the wisdom of the Lord to help you with your finances. And we're going to sing What a Beautiful Name It Is as they come. Altars are still open. Come on down. Just find a way. Just push yourself in. You have no equal ever, God. You reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, above all names. Of Jesus Christ. It is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Come on, church, just pray with us for God's blessing. Compares to this.
You realize next Sunday is 8:18, right?
Amen. Doesn't he have a beautiful name, church? Come on, give him a hand. Come on. Hey, I just heard something pretty interesting. Somebody just told me next Sunday is 8:18. I should have preached this next Sunday. Well, maybe the Lord wanted to prepare you for 8:18. I don't know. Thank you for your pledges to help us remodel. Thank you for your giving there. If God speaks to you, please be obedient to the Lord. Amen. I'm asking God, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that each and every one that sows a seed in this house, that the seed eater will be rebuked, the devourer will be put down, and that your very life-giving presence will get into that seed and cause it to produce back into these wonderful people and into this church 30, 60, and 100-fold. Bless beyond our wildest imagination in this upcoming year. Lord, this next year, blessings upon blessings upon blessings. Debt free in Jesus' name. I believe, God, you can have people be debt free. I know today it looks impossible, but tomorrow it is possible because of your name. Somebody say amen. I don't know how God does it, but God can do it. God can do it. But you got to plant seeds. You got to be intentional. You got to understand, and God will give wisdom and revelation to help you. Amen. Now, these altars are going to stay open. If you'd like to come and pray, you're welcome to come and pray. If you don't mind, David, if you would just put on those, if you sow this seed, this is what happens, and just rotate those last two or something so people can write that down. Sow your seed. Be careful. Sow honor. Sow access. Sow opportunity. I pray that everywhere I go, I'm a door for somebody else, that they can come through my life to find a connection they need in their life. I pray that I'm an answer and not a problem, that I'm an answer to people. Pray that you can be a seed that's an answer to somebody's life. Find a way to become a seed so that God can bless. Can you say amen? Amen. Don't forget the table in the back with George Lutz. Don't forget Mercedes' table. Do you have a word? We have a prophetic word we'd like to receive at this time.
Behold, I am the Lord your God, strong and mighty and true. For I have called you, I have chosen you to go into the dark places and to do battle and to bring my light therein. But I say to you, before you go into battle, remain and wait and listen for the rustle in the mulberry bush. Because once you hear that, that is my sign to you that I, the Lord thy God, and my angels have already gone into battle before you. Now it's your turn to walk into the battle. And then I, the Lord thy God, will bring you out, and I will give you the victory, says the Lord. Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody. Amen. We have a little thing called the 10-foot rule. Everybody within 10 foot, you got to love on them. You're dismissed in the love of the Lord. You're dismissed today. Love on people with you in 10 foot of you. Just turn around, shake somebody's hand, love on somebody.